Good morning. Welcome to worship on this snowy second Sunday of Christmas this year. Sorry that I didn't shake your hand as you came in, but I'm fighting a cold and thought it was best not to do that this morning. As we begin our worship this morning, I invite you to remember the God who has claimed you as his own as we mark ourselves with the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with the confession and forgiveness. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. I invite you to hear the good news. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake God promises to forgive you all your sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
We God, he is
Will you please join with me in praying the prayer of the day as printed in your bulletin? Almighty God, you have filled all the earth with the light of your incarnate word. By your grace, empower us to reflect your light in all that we do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning at verse 7. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chiefs of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnants of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the furthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together. A great company they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolation I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water, in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become the father of Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlines far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd of flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion. They shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like watered garden, and they shall never languish again. They shall the young woman rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their full of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read responsively the psalm printed in your bulletin, Psalm 147, starting at verse 12. I will read the bold text. You will read the light. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion.
He strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you.
He grants peace within your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat.
He sends out his hand to the earth. His word runs swiftly.
He gives snow like wool and scatters frost like ashes.
He hurls down hail like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold?
He sends out his word and melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow.
He declares his words to Jacob, his statutes and ordinances to Israel.
He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his ordinances. Praise the Lord. Our second reading is found in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he has lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hopes on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption of God's own people to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Invite the congregation to rise as you're able for the Alleluia verse and gospel reading. The Gospel is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John doesn't have the traditional birth narrative that we're accustomed to hearing at Christmas time. John's painting a different picture of Jesus coming into the world. Beginning with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated and invite the children. Come forward for children's message. Yep.
Ready? Look at us. Got my tribe here. I have been contemplating my message today for a couple of days, and I couldn't write anything down because I'm going to try and articulate it from the heart, because every time I wrote it down it just was rambling, kind of like that last reading we had. It seemed to go around in circles a lot. So I got a question for you. Have you ever been anxious, scared, nervous about something that you hope will happen in the future, or you wish would, you know, like maybe I get this for Christmas or something like that? Have you ever been anxious, scared? Yeah, me too. And that's okay. I was talking to a friend of mine this week about her being anxious about her husband not having a job, and that he was going to apply for a job, but it wasn't his dream job. But let the chips fall where they may, so to speak. So they're very anxious about him getting a job. Now we have two choices. We can be anxious by ourselves and let all of that fear stew in our brains, and it can go all over the place, right? It can just take all kinds of weird forms. Or we can trust that Jesus has our best in mind, that the best outcome is in God's hands. So we're powerless over what's going to happen tomorrow, right? But we can trust with faith that God's going to take care of us, come what may. You know, it may be good, maybe not be so good. But we have the Spirit of God through Jesus with us all the time. So even when we're scared or we're anxious about what might happen, we can trust the process. And you know what? You guys always have somebody to talk to. You have your parents and you have God. You always have somebody to talk to. So when you're scared or you're nervous or you're anxious about something, how am I going to do in swim? How am I going to do in dance? You can turn it over to God and trust and do the best you can. And that's all we can do, right? So for today, just for today, because that's all we got, let's just trust, right? We'll trust. And if we have scary thoughts or fears or anxiety, we can talk to somebody about it. We can go to our parents first, or then we can pray. And you can pray as you're walking around in your everyday life. You don't need to be on your knees. It's great when you are, but you don't have to be. We can pray in our everyday walking around. I have a tree over by PFI that I pray in front of every day, at least once, because I'm walking my dog by there. So if you're afraid, it's okay. You can trust the process and that God is always going to be there for you. Okay? So let's pray. And we're not going to hold hands today because there's lots of germies going around. So let's just put our hands out. Dear Jesus, thank you for always being there for us. And we will always be here with you. In Jesus' name.
Invite the congregation to join in singing Angels We Have Heard on High, hymn number 289.
Come to Bethlehem and see.
Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Happy New Year to you all. I hope you had a good celebration at the turn of the decade this past weekend. I've been thinking about New Year's Day this past week and all the traditions associated with it. I've especially been thinking about how the beginning of a new year provides the promise of a new beginning in our lives. It reminds me of a prayer that was passed around the internet some years ago. Maybe you read it. It went something like this. Dear Lord, I have to say that I've done pretty well today. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, self-indulgent, or overindulgent. I'm very thankful for that. But in a few minutes, Lord, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need a lot of help. We want to get it right, don't we? At the beginning of a new year, we get a chance to have it right for a little while. Maybe it lasts seconds. For those of us who are more capable, maybe hours or days. But before long, we find that we're again in need of repentance and a renewed intention to get it right the next time. That renewed intention is what lies at the heart of New Year's resolutions, of course. They've been around forever, it seems. A number of historians believe it was the Babylonians around 2000 BC who were the first to make resolutions at the beginning of the year. Their idea was that the first day of the new year was a perfect time to reflect on past errors and to plan to do better in the coming year. For the Babylonians, New Year's resolutions usually had to do with paying off debts or returning borrowed equipment or goods. Years later, in Roman times, the people carried on this tradition. They would make resolutions or promises of good conduct to Janus, the god of beginnings and endings. Janus was said to have two faces, one on the back of his head and one on the front, so he could see both the past and into the future. When the Roman calendar was formed, they named the first month of the year January after him. Resolutions may have begun as promises of performing good deeds, but these days, resolutions often center around breaking negative habits. I've seen a number of top 10 lists lately, lists of what people are most likely to resolve to do at the beginning of a new year. They almost always include some of these: spending more time with family and friends, exercising regularly, giving up smoking or drinking or spending, sticking to that diet we've been considering for so many years, spending more time helping others, reading those books that have been piling up on the bookshelf. Were any of those included in your list? There's something very hopeful about the beginning of a new year. This just might be the year that we accomplish some of those resolutions that we make year after year. This just might be the year when those hopes that we've been hanging on to are realized. It's a time of new beginning, new possibilities. That's why the first week of January is a good time to read from the first chapter of John's Gospel. John begins this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. Without him, not one thing came into being. In the beginning. For John, this phrase meant that Jesus was with God from the very beginning of creation. And in Jesus, the Word made flesh, God makes the decision to begin again in a manger in Bethlehem. In the beginning. It's a good way to start off the first Sunday of the new year. I like the sound of it. In the beginning. It's full of the past, yet full of potential and possibility. It reminds us that God is the creator, and that in Jesus, God was not yet done with creation. In the midst of global unrest, drone attacks, national fear, a sense of public distrust, starting over, a new beginning, is a welcome word of hope. It also reminds us that God is not so much concerned about the past, but about new beginnings, about what lies ahead for each of us. John appears less interested in giving a detailed account of Jesus' birth and more concerned about the difference that Jesus' birth makes in our lives right now. John's purpose is to help us to believe in Jesus, so that we might become children of God. Listen again. Jesus was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. It's in believing in Jesus that we become children of God. Children who are not defined by how well they keep their New Year's resolutions. Rather, we're defined by being God's children. And nothing can change that. It doesn't necessarily mean that we as God's children are going to do better at keeping our New Year's resolutions. But it does mean that God will never give up on us. Our gospel conveys that when John says, "From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Abundant grace, abundant love. It seems too good to be true." On Christmas Eve, I talked about the mystery of God, that we can't explain everything about our faith, like how Jesus is both human and divine, or how God could be so gracious to us. But that doesn't mean that our faith doesn't have solid ground. As historians tell us, and as early manuscripts reveal, Jesus was a person who lived and died, and there are many accounts of the people who saw Jesus after the resurrection. Our faith is built on the solid rock of Christ, as the great Reformation hymn put it. And as the Apostle Paul put it in Hebrews, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. In the last words of today's gospel, John reminds us of the obvious. No one has ever seen God. So how do we know there is a God? Even more, if there is a God, how do we know what this God is like? How do we know that God is gracious? The Gospel of John gives us a starting point to address those questions. John wrote, "It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." John makes clear the whole purpose of his writing is to show us that Jesus is the one who most fully reveals who God is. When we see Jesus, we see God. What we see in Jesus is what we can expect from God. And what we see in Jesus is the face of love, the one who came preaching and teaching about God's kingdom, the one who fed the hungry and healed the sick, the one who welcomed the outcast and was a friend to all. This one shows us just who and what God is like. And then in the cross, especially, we see just how far God will go to tell us that God loves us and now calls us to have the same concern for those people that Jesus had. This new year, we have the opportunity to review our past year's faithfulness and think a bit about what lies ahead in 2020. Each year, we join many of our friends and neighbors and focus on personal goals. New Year's is also an opportunity to think about what God resolutions you need to make. After all, resolutions aren't just for the sake of your life, but for the sake of God in your life. John calls us to consider a new beginning of allowing faith to make a deeper root in our lives, to shape and mold us into the people God would have us be, to commit ourselves to daily devotion, to prayer, to reading the Bible, to caring for our neighbor. Will we succeed in fulfilling all of our resolutions? The odds are against it. A study at the University of Minnesota revealed that 80% of all Americans give up on their New Year's resolutions within 2 months. Yet at the same time, we believe the result is different when God is involved. As the Apostle Paul reminds us, we can do all things through God who strengthens us, Philippians 4. My hope is that the beginning of this year might be a new beginning in your life with God. May God empower the resolutions that you make in this new year. May your faithfulness increase. May your devotional and prayer life increase. May the light of Christ be known through your words and deeds. And may we all receive grace upon grace to sustain us in this journey. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able for singing our gospel sermon hymn, "What Child Is This?" I invite you to join together in confessing our common faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed as printed in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated for the prayers. Gathered with all who seek the Christ child, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Generous Creator, in you all things came into being, and without you not one thing exists. We praise you for the snow and rain that water the earth, for the sun which nourishes life. Move us to care for your creation, Lord, in your mercy. Inspire the leaders of the nations to work for peace within their countries and in all the world. Lord, in your mercy. Saving God, provide for your people who begin this new year in need. Grant shelter to those who are homeless, comfort to all who are lonely, a strong sense of your presence to those who are sick. We remember those on our prayer list, Lee Rebick, Joan Schilling, Sandra Edgars, Stan Hort, Shar Hoyson, Fred and Karin Holtner, Mike Rai, Tim Fisk, Renee Volk, and those we name out loud are in our hearts before you now. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the churches in transition in our community, the Presbyterian, the Episcopal, Baptist, and the Bible Church. Raise up faithful leaders for your people. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for wisdom for those who discern the deployment of our military. We pray for safety for those serving from this congregation, Jesse Anderson, Dave Chapman, Shania Dahlberg, John Floyd, Trinity Parker, Michael Gardner, Alan McKay, Eric Paulson, Michael Serafini, John Small, Kevin Tinas, Peter Vermeer, Ben Zarlingo, Joe Zarlingo, and those we lift up out loud are in our hearts before you now. May their service create a safer and just world for all. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, as we look back on the year past, we give thanks for those who have given of their time and wisdom to serve as council members, teachers, worship leaders, musicians, ushers, acolytes, quilting and sewing groups, and all who have shared their gifts. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for your blessing to be on those who will serve in those same capacities in the new year. Lord, in your mercy. For those whose increasing years bring isolation, Lord, in your mercy. For the wisdom of the elders in our midst, Lord, in your mercy. For the energy and enthusiasm for the young of heart, Lord, in your mercy. Gracious One, your light shines in the darkness, and it is not overcome. We thank you for the witnesses who have testified to your light, who now lay to rest, and who we name before you now out loud or in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Into your gracious hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your steadfast mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.